I'm Jason.
And I'm Lara.
And we're going to go through your feedback for The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, Season 2, Episode 1, La Gentillesse des Etrangers. Lucy's been having some family stuff go on right now, and she's okay, but it's been kind of a overwhelming week, and she was fine taking a break. And so I was glad, Lara, that you would step in so we can have a little bit of continuity since you helped us cover the first episode. And you got some good reviews, by the way. I saw everybody was saying they liked having you on.
Nice. Great. I hope I didn't sound too nervous. I was a little nervous about hopping on.
I didn't notice anything. All right. So let's hop into it. You want to go first?
I will. Keisha Rawlings. Sorry if I pronounced that incorrectly. I thought the first few minutes were good, but then I thought it became kind of boring.
Wonder why. Maybe she doesn't like Carol that much. Kesha just, Renee invited Kesha over, so hopefully we'll be hearing more from her and we can find out what kinds of things she's into.
I'd be interested in finding out why she thought was boring, because that last 15 minutes was pretty exciting.
Zombies are boring. Becky Fenner Anderson says, I enjoyed it, but didn't love it. Thought it was a bit slow, and the whole airplane guy, the story of his kid was heartbreaking. Being there seemed a bit too convenient, but I guess a bit of suspension and disbelief is needed. I do love seeing badass Carol back on screen, and I'm excited to see how it all goes as the season progresses. A lot of people wrote in, I think before they heard us, so I'm curious if we helped change anybody's mind or not.
Yeah, I do understand, Becky. It seems like a lot of stuff kind of got shorthanded, but I think it's because there's only six or seven episodes this season.
Six, yeah. Like people are saying, oh, I hope it doesn't take all season for them to get together. And so if you want it to happen fast, then you have to find some reason for Carol to find a dude with a plane and convince him to go to France quick. Yes. So that means taking some shortcuts.
Exactly. All right. Natalie Collins says, Daryl's walker training was cool. Lo Sang is a bad dude. Don't call Carol a bitch. Ash is wonderful. And how dare Carol lie to him about Sophia? The walkers in the foggy tree line was a beautiful shot. I agree.
Yes.
Flashbacks show how old we've become. And Daryl, get a haircut.
Do you want Daryl to get a haircut?
Nah. Actually, yeah. I'm comparing his hair to seasons 1 and 2. I think I like him with the longer hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm digging it. But yeah, he looks a lot older.
Yes, exactly. Don't we all?
Yes. Very true. Jennifer Ringham says, I've been a consistent, quote, non-voter the past few elections. The last person I voted for was Obama when I was freshly 18. LOL. Anyway, Jason, thanks for plugging the voter registration on each Walking Dead rewatch podcast, because you've convinced my household to vote again.
Yay.
I know you said if even one person decided to vote, you would be happy. So I thought you should know you got at least 3 people to vote. Yeah, you just made me really happy. Thank you, Jennifer. I'm so glad you thought to wrote in and let me know that, because this is so super important to me, and I really appreciate that you took the time to do it. And it's of course reminding me, please, everyone else, we're running out of time. So if you don't even know if you're registered, go to vote.org. You can find out how to register. You can register. You can find out how to vote there. I would love it if more of you guys would write in and let me know that you're voting.
And good for you for voting at 18. My daughter just turned 18, and I'm trying to convince her to register. And my dad did too. He was a poli sci major, and he always told me I needed to vote register to vote as soon as I was 18. So I've been registered since 18 as well.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it took me at least one election after I turned 18 to really get involved, because things just seemed okay when we Gen Xers were kids, at least to me. I don't know. Maybe that's not true to everyone, but I was just like, yeah, our country's great. Everything's going awesome. And only when things started to go wrong was I like, oh, wait, I better pay attention here. I'm starting to have some preferences about how people are doing things, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm wanting to have a say. All right, here's a call from Johnny. I think this might be his first time calling in.
Hey, this is Johnny from Texas. Just wondering what y'all's opinion is on if Carol will reveal who had returned, you know, from season one, telling Daryl who might have returned. I mean, I guess we can all assume who it is, but will she say who it is on this season of Daryl Dixon? This is going to be interesting to see.
It's obviously Heath, right?
That's right. And since I did the Last of Us finale, I don't know who it is.
No, not Last of Us. The ones who
live. I'm sorry.
Live.
The ones who live. Yep.
Yeah, it's Joel. No, I'm just kidding. This weird guy came with this weird girl and they kept telling puns. yeah, it's got to be Rick, I would think. Oh, shit. I just spoiled that for you. I'm so sorry.
But you told me Michonne killed her.
You just said you didn't watch it. I spoiled it. I'm an idiot. Well, if you've been listening to the podcast, you must have heard us say that. Anyway.
They're not going to kill Rick. No way.
I hope, yeah, I hope they do, because whoever it is, Carol thought to bring that up, you know, when she had a chance to talk to Daryl on the radio last season. You know, they only had a few seconds together and she thought to bring that up, but then she got cut off. So you would think that if she's presumably going to be with him in France, that she'll bring it up again. Like, did you hear what I said?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Maria Lawson says, I thought for a moment when the Cherokee Rose showed up that Carol might be passed out in a car wreck and this was all a dream. It just seemed a little too perfect. I'm not a fan of her lying about Sophia. Had she told her the real story about Sophia, including how that incident cemented her friendship with Daryl and how he wouldn't give up on Sophia, so now she wouldn't give up on him, I think she could have convinced Ash to fly. That's true. Maybe.
That's totally true.
I don't want to take the chance, though.
Yeah. I mean, I was very judgmental of Carol, but when she finally got him to agree, and then I thought, okay, I guess if I was her now, I would maybe think twice about telling the truth, because you've got your ride. So God, that I feel awful even saying that. But anyway, I think, yeah, I agree with you totally, Maria. I think Carol could have maybe convinced him, and what she did was awful anyway, because she's putting him in a position where he could die under false pretenses. So that's, even if it would be more likely to convince him to do it, it's still morally wrong. But as you probably heard me say in the last episode, if she had done everything right, and most of the time in these shows, if people do what they should do, then there's no conflict, there's no drama, there's no story, it's boring, right? So they have to have Carol revert back to her worst instincts, which I think is kind of believable for her character. I don't know, maybe some people don't agree with that, but I think it's at least plausible. We've seen her do these kinds of things before, and so it makes sense that when it comes to like her desperation in finding Daryl, that she might revert to those characteristics and make for a really interesting story. And also, as I said last time, room for her to grow. So she starts off at a point where she's not doing the right thing, but hopefully, you know, as the series goes along, she'll grow into a better person.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess. At least that's what I would tell myself. Okay. Ashley Edward Wolf says, it was good to see Carol again. The flashback or hallucination scene was emotional. I believe we will see Carol working through some of her suppressed trauma this season. Mm-hmm, me too. I like Ash a lot. I feel bad for him once he realizes that Carol isn't searching for her daughter. I think that will cause a lot of tension. Yeah, I'll say. even though his fortress was overrun and on fire, I don't know that he would have left his son's memorial in search for Daryl. We will see. I can't wait for episode two. Much love, Jason and Lucy. I mean, I think maybe one, I forget if somebody already said this in one of the upcoming messages, but I had this thought too, that, you know, the night they left, lightning struck the ethanol and blew it all up. It seems like that was going to happen no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know.
That's true.
Seems like whether Carol showed up or not, his whole place was just going to go down in flames.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know if he would have been able to put that out, that ethanol fire. He could, if he did, he could eventually collect more ethanol and continue to live his solitary life. But we need something to push our characters.
Yeah.
Get them on the road.
We need drama and people doing shitty things. Gotta have it. It's The Walking Dead.
Of course. Oh, Fiona, Jennifer Neal says, wow, I really enjoyed that. Ash is going to be so pissed when he finds out that she lied again. Not on board with the lie, she completely exploited his weakness. Stone cold, however, we also got to see how those memories still haunt her. So she does still feel, but Carol is pragmatic to a fault, bordering on diabolical, and it expedited the story. So I found it entertaining and fitting with her character. Remember, this is the woman who that torched two innocent people because they were sick to stop an outbreak. To Carol, the ends justify the means. Every time she smiles, I think she's about to start offering cookies. It's terrifying. I do not trust that Lo Sang Du.
That was very well written, Fiona.
Yeah, really great. I think that wraps up her character really well. She,
right.
She is vicious when she needs to be and very pragmatic, as you said.
And if someone just said, okay, what is this sentence from? Every time she smiles, I think she's about to start offering cookies. It's terrifying. If you're a Walking Dead fan, you're nodding. And if you're not, you're like, what? I don't get it. All right, here's Shauna Sullivan.
Hey, Jason and Lucy. This is Shauna calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't usually like to call in, but this is the 600th episode, so I thought I'll be brave and I'll just do it. I'm calling in regards to Daryl Dixon, Book of Carol, Episode 1. First of all, thank you so much. What a delight to wake up on a Monday morning to have a podcast notification on my phone. It's really made my Monday, and although it's distracted me a little bit from work, it's been a nice transition to the week. So calling in regards to, you mentioned it at the end of the podcast, the little kind of callback or throwback with Carol's accident in the beginning of the episode, which when I was watching it really reminded me of Lori's accident back in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I even said so to my husband who was sitting there watching with me. Here's another callback. And, you know, we saw the callback with the barn doors and then thinking about even episode one of Daryl Dixon, where they were calling back to that Merle reveal of a zombie, got me really thinking and thinking, okay, why would they show that? Why would this be connected to Lori? And got me, you know, when I was listening to the podcast, you were talking about maybe they're setting up Laurent for some kind of sacrifice, right? And I was thinking about Lori's ultimate sacrifice, which was giving her life for Judith, right? And, you know, they're already kind of getting us ready to think about Carol's kind of core trauma and thinking back to Sophia that there's something unresolved there, which we would expect, right? With the death of a child. And so thinking, gosh, is there going to be some kind of a sacrifice on Carol's behalf that's related to Laurent? Or, you know, is there really some kind of, as we think about all the things that Carol has done that are not favorable and her relationship to kids and the way that she's used manipulation, as you mentioned in the episode, you know, is there some kind of penance going with the theme of, you know, religious? Is there some penance that Carol needs to pay that we might see in this Book of Carol, which it's called the Book of Carol, not Book of Carol Volume 1. So that leads me to think there's got to be some conclusion or some, you know, wrap up of her kind of core trauma that's coming here. We will see, but it's got me wondering. Also, just want to say, hey, Jason and Lucy, you have more restraint than I do sitting on those screeners. I would be watching all the way to the end. But thank you so much for your coverage, and thanks for being you. And also thanks for shouting me out on Don't Get Bit a couple episodes back on the rewatch. That really made my day. I replayed it for my husband over and over, and he said, you know, you really got a problem with this Walking Dead stuff. But I disagree. So thank you so much. Have a great week, and thank you again for your coverage.
Oh, that was great, Shauna. Thank you.
Nice. I love that.
So what do you think about, about Carol might need to make some kind of a sacrifice for Laurent? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't think she's going to give her own life. I just have a feeling that wouldn't be it, but I like the idea of some sort of penance.
Yeah. I feel like she and Daryl have plot armor, right?
Yes. I think so. I can't say for sure that I know she's going into season three, but I have a feeling that she is. Mm-hmm. And but I like the idea of penance because I think Melissa McBride even said that she really wanted to go back to the issues of Sophia and the trauma that created for her, because mm-hmm. the show at the time had so many characters, they couldn't really spend time focusing on that. And I don't think in the series they've ever really gone back to it and dove into like how that fundamentally changed her.
I know. I mean, they keep having her have to relive it sort of, but mm-hmm. they don't really go deep into Sophia in particular.
Yeah. And my favorite Carol is always when she exposes herself a little bit. I feel like she always wears this mask, but she, in the times where she's exposed herself to Daryl and Ezekiel and some of the other characters, are some of her best moments, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I just love how she started off meek and even kind of whiny and just really wounded. And as the series went along and she found herself, she became kind of almost like, I don't give a shit about nothing, you know,
very cold.
I do what I want. But yes. Yeah. But I mean, even just that affair she had with Tobin in Alexandria, mm-hmm. I just thought, oh, that's so funny. She's at the point where she's like, yeah, I'm gonna have a fling with this guy. I don't really care, you know, and that's so different than how she started out. And yet I find it very believable because she's like a piece of shattered stained glass that's beautiful and gorgeous and also kind of broken, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't mean Great. That to be an insult.
That's a good metaphor.
I like, yeah, I mean, she's so much fun to watch. So I'm happy to have her in the show with Daryl. And I like you're tying it to religion because there's a lot of religious themes. I don't know about a lot, but there's religious themes in the Daryl show, and it's called The Book of Carol. And yeah, I think there's going to be a deeper reason for that than just Carol's on the show now, you know?
Yeah.
As far as screeners and showing restraint, it's hard, but we know that if we watch ahead, it will affect how we talk about things. We might accidentally spoil something. And also we give a lot of sort of theories, and those would not be honest because we already know it was going to happen. You know, we can't really do speculation. And also I only send them to Lucy one at a time. She's going to love you for saying that when she listens to this.
So you're the only one who needs any real restraint.
Yeah. Okay, here's Melissa Dickinson, who says, I've always been down with anything Carol wanted to do, but I was surprised to find that the lie she told about Sophia was beyond the pale for me. Murder? Fine. Looking at the flowers? Yep. Lying about your dead child to manipulate a decent grieving person into maybe dying for you? No. Maybe if Sophia hadn't been a real character we knew on the show, and it hadn't been such a huge deal when she died, I wouldn't be so disgusted. I think this shows how far gone Carol is. She will literally say and do anything to get what she wants, and she doesn't see value in anyone outside her circle other than as tools, even with people who are good and kind. I really disliked her in this episode, and I didn't think it was possible. I'm kind of mad at AMC for having her stoop that low. Yeah, I can't argue with any of that. I guess the only thing I would say is she did seem... It wasn't completely cold. I think she did connect with Ash, and that she did start to feel kind of guilty about it which is why maybe, although I did give a cynical take, but maybe why she said, are you sure you want to do this? You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like there is a part of her that's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this to this poor guy. What do you think? Am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, I did when she was playing that music box and singing along to it, and she realized what Ash had lost and how it factored into her story as well. I think she felt real compassion for him, but she is pragmatic and she knows what her goal is, and her goal is to get to Daryl no matter what. So yeah, we weren't happy with her either, but
yeah,
I'm hoping this is gonna put her on the path to a real reckoning with the way she treats people and what she needs to do. And like I've said before, that survival instinct has saved a lot of people in the past. So where do you learn to not be so reckless and ruthless is maybe the thing she needs to learn.
And it's similar to what Daryl, they're sort of signaling Daryl might need to learn that in a different way, where he's just impulsively violent sometimes. And, you know, I didn't like Daryl when he was stabbing that guy over and over again, even though that guy was a sleazebag. I'm just like, God, this is so disgusting and brutal. And it's like, we're watching a villain here. And I don't like that at all. And I'm not mad at AMC for having Carol do this, because I think it's really interesting and I don't need to like the characters. And I also suspect that they're starting her on a path to sort of become a better person. But I am kind of mad at when they have Daryl torture somebody, because I think they're just doing that because they think it's cool or something. And I don't think they're going to have Daryl sort of come to a reckoning where he realizes that maybe that takes away a little piece of his soul every time he does it or something like that. You know, I just don't like
it. Yeah. Like you guys mentioned in the rewatch, it's not something that he hadn't done in the past. It's maybe in his background or DNA to do that. But I thought he had kind of moved past that with everything else that he had experienced and learned throughout the whole series, that he was beyond torturing a not innocent person, but maybe someone who didn't quite deserve that.
Yeah. And he really, I mean, not only did he not move past it, but it's like a guy who you've seen do a couple of really good dives and then he just does like a triple flip or something. He's like really went for it.
Well, Madeline Joe, is that where we're at? Yep.
Yep.
Giving the benefit of the doubt here, because I'm hoping this will be a good season, but I don't quite buy that Carol would be unawares enough to accidentally let the zombies in. Seems real rookie to me. Lying about Sophia, she is ruthlessly practical, but I'd like to think she doesn't do stuff quite this manipulative unless the situation is dire and urgent. I don't know. Also, it's ridiculously convenient that lightning struck the disabled zombie paddock right when they were leaving, giving them no choice anyways. Has Ash never heard of a lightning rod? The man built a whole ass plane. Come on. Good thing they're leaving, because after Carol ruined that awesome greenhouse, she fixed it with tape. Girl, no. I feel like this episode made both characters conveniently absent-minded, inconsistently stupid in ways that don't make sense to make plot things happen, which I find annoying. I'm worried that Ash isn't long for this world, and I've also seen more than enough of the nice person gets entangled with the main character's mission, then dies. I'd like to see him survive and develop as a more complex character instead.
That would be cool.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I hope they go against our expectations and do that. If I had to bet money, I would bet quite a lot that they won't. but I hope they do. That would be cool. But I mean, a lot of the things that you're talking about here, I just think that's part of The Walking Dead, because as I often say, I've been finding myself repeating myself a lot lately. But anyways, sorry if that annoys everybody, but the zombies are just slow and dumb. So they have to work really hard to create a situation where the zombies are going to be a threat. So they have to make this security system that just drops off every once in a while, and then the doors all just like open up by themselves and lightning come down. But that's like every other episode of The Walking Dead has something like that. If you think about it, you're like, no, if they would have just done this one thing, then they could have totally gotten away or whatever. I just think that I agree with you, Madeline, but I also have a lot of forgiveness for that kind of thing with this show because they I feel like they have to do it to keep being creative. And it was worth it to me to see the cool lightning storm and the zombies in the trees and then being chopped up by the propeller and all that. I'm like, yeah, they cut a few corners here and there, but it was an awesome scene. That's how I felt about it anyway.
I agree with Madeline a bit. I did say that I thought there was some manufactured drama there. And
yeah, you did
like
say that.
Lucy and I and our shadow host Peter said a latch or a zip tie could have fixed that whole situation.
Yeah.
And maybe there could have been a way that the latch got broken or something. Then that like that small scene might have explained it a little bit better.
That's true. I was going to say, okay, yeah, they zip tie it. The zombies don't get in. No story. But then, yeah, if you're like, it got broken somehow. But how, though? It would have to be some stupid thing that we would be then complaining about, probably. A monkey comes down and breaks it. I don't know. All right. So Jeff Hecker says, hi, Jason, Lucy, and anyone else listening. Hope y'all are well. I loved the first episode of Daryl season 2 and thought of a workaround if Ash survives long enough to meet Daryl. She can just introduce Daryl as her husband, Ed, and he can say Ed is his nickname. Probably silly, but it is there if Ash lives long enough, though he won't. Anyway, looking forward to the season and looking forward to y'all's coverage. That would be funny. But I don't think Daryl would play along for 1 second. It'd be fun to see Carol try that, though.
Yeah, I think it's hard for him to lie. He's not a very good fibber and nope. Would not act well in that situation.
I don't think he was in high school drama club or anything.
No.
All right, here's Carly Jackson.
Hello, Jason and Lucy. This is Carly from Santa Fe, and I just finished the first episode of Daryl Dixon, Book of Carol, and it was so good. I liked it so much.
Yeah,
I love seeing Melissa McBride. She looked beautiful, and I love seeing her in this new setting, and that they're revisiting this grief that she carries for Sophia. It just feels really good. And, you know, she had that moment to connect with Ash over a genuine memory she could have shared honestly about her loss of Sophia, and she could have really connected with him over that. But nope, Carol's got a Carol, and that means lying to get what she wants and manipulating. And, you know, I love to see it, but I also... I'm like, oh, come on, Carol, let's grow a little. Let's trust a little. You don't have to be so manipulative all the time. So I'm really excited to see where this season goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you felt that way. I just had the thought, it's sort of like a movie where, you know, in the first act, things aren't going well and people aren't acting the way they should to get their problem solved. But by the end of a lot of movies, they figure it out and then we are left feeling satisfied, but instead we're left having to wait a week for the next little segment, you know? So we're left with that discomfort of the first part where they're not acting the way you want them to.
Exactly.
That's not a fun place to be emotionally sometimes.
Well, Carly Jackson wrote back again and said, hello again. I'm listening to the podcast on season 2, episode 1, Daryl Dixon. I just had to correct something that Laura was saying about Carol's history. There was a conversation between Carol and Lori where Carol said Ed looked at his daughter in a certain way, but we had seen that on screen in season 1. I think it was the night Ed died. Sophia and Carol were going to join everyone at the fire, but Ed didn't want to. I think because Shane had hit him and he had a black eye. Ed says Sophia should stay there with her dad, and Carol has a reaction, says, nope, Sophia is coming out with everyone else. He never had a chance to molest Sophia. And when Carol saw that he had that intention, she removed Sophia from his presence. Carol has done a lot of crappy things, but that's not one of them. When the spinoffs of The Walking Dead were announced, I never thought I would watch them, much less enjoy them. But your podcast and The Talking Dead podcast make the whole experience a lot more fun.
Nice.
That's Chris and Jason.
Yeah, who are awesome. Did they? I wonder, because they started a rewatch too. I bet you they broke. They paused to get into the Daryl show. I haven't checked. Anyway, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I do remember that scene in the tent. I would have to go back to the scene at the church because I felt like both times I watched it, on the first watch and the rewatch, it seemed very ominous to me that something had happened between them two. But I will go back and check it out, Carly. And, you know, thanks, because, you know, if that didn't happen, then I take back what I said about Carol. I don't take back some of the other things that I don't like about her character, but I would definitely take that back.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to go back to, even though we just did the rewatch, but I don't remember the moment in the church. But even this moment, we don't know if she's keeping Sophia away from Ed because something already happened and she doesn't want it to happen again, or even if it is just that she can sense Ed's intentions or she's afraid of them, then she's still staying in a marriage where she's afraid that her husband might molest their daughter. So, I mean, I know it's hard, you know. I mean, my mom was with bad guys growing up, so I have some particular feelings about that, but I understand that it's not so easy sometimes to get away from stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, Carly.
Yeah, I'm glad you're watching and writing in, Carly. You have some really, you have a unique perspective, which is great. Josie Bowen Echtel says, as soon as I saw the Cherokee rose, I screamed and my husband was confused. Why are you screaming about a flower? I couldn't believe how he didn't recognize it immediately. I love the callbacks to the OG show. When Carol stood in front of the barn, I got chills before the flashbacks even appeared, remembering I didn't. So that's cool. I didn't realize that was about to happen. I like this Ash guy and his setup was pretty cool. I wasn't surprised when Carol lied about why she wants to go to France. She made a connection with Ash that she knew he would resonate with immediately. It was dark. I don't like it, but it makes sense for her as a character. Not looking forward to the fallout on that, though. There were some bits of this episode that just felt too perfect or cliche. Carol pulling a Lori in that car wreck, roll eye emoji. But overall, I really liked it. I'm still not a fan of the Paris gang, and I'm glad Carol's making her way there quickly because I need Daryl to reunite with his person again. I don't care about Laurent, and I don't understand why Daryl took his sweet ass time not shooting French lady, other than we need it for the plot. I agree with you on that one. Excited to see what happens next week. I mean, you should have just done what Carol done at least and shot her in the leg, right? Then they could capture her and take her away.
Carol would have shot her.
Yeah, right away. Thanks for all you do, Jason and Lucy. I love this community we have and how we can all nerd out together. Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's awesome.
And Jason Badgett, sorry if that's wrong. When I first heard you say the title of the season is The Book of Carol, I thought that was a joke. I can't believe that's actually the name of it. They could have literally named the show anything else and wouldn't have had to have such a weird subtitle. And why is it a book? While I'm talking about it, let's review all the show titles. The Walking Dead, perfect, no notes. Fear the Walking Dead, terrible, tells you what to feel, and worse. The title causes it to be causes it to not sort alphabetically with the other shows in my digital files. World Beyond, this is fine, would have been a better title for the Daryl show. Mm-hmm. Tales of the Walking Dead, good title, same sorting issue as Fear, LOL.
It's a good title, though. I like that.
More Tales of the Walking Dead, why isn't this just season two? Dead City, sounds more like a video game title. Isle of the Dead was a better title. The fact that it sounded like I Love the Dead was a bonus. The Ones Who Live, weird title, should have been called The Walking Dead Season 12, LOL.
I wonder.
Every time I think of The Ones Who Live, I just think I want to call it The Ones Who Love.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we said on the podcast, that I think that's on purpose because it's about getting back to the place where they can love again. I know that sounds silly, but if you listen to our episodes, it makes sense. But I feel like they probably realized that Isle of the Dead sounds like I Love the Dead, and that's why they renamed it. You know, they're like, oh, that sounds a little kinky. More Tales of the Walking Dead. I don't think that actually came out. So there was that 6-episode series, or now I guess miniseries, called Tales of the Walking Dead, that each episode had new characters. And I liked it, but it didn't have one of the main things that makes Walking Dead special, which is that you just fall in love with these characters that you spend so much time with. And so I think most people didn't really take to it, but they were, said they were going to do another sort of companion series called More Tales of the Walking Dead Universe, actually, is what it was going to be called. And it was going to have just short stories, but it never came out. And I have a feeling it's just quietly gone away. But otherwise, yeah, I guess I agree. I thought Fear the Walking Dead. Yeah, I didn't really like that as a title either, even when I liked the first couple seasons of the show.
I like that he tells you, it tells you how to feel. Like,
funny.
Be wary of The Walking Dead, maybe?
I'm still telling you how to feel. It should just be, you know, feel however you want about The Walking Dead. No, I don't know. All right. Here is Gloria Hernan.
Hi, Jason and Lucy. Au revoir. It's Gloria from Salem. Bonjour. The Daryl Show is back. Yay, I'm so excited. Okay, where do I start? So, of course, Daryl couldn't leave Laurent to die on that cliff. You know, I get it. Teaching him how to survive, it's a necessity, for sure. Lo Sang, is that his name? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Is kind of like Morgan with that staff thing, right? Mm-hmm. What's the real name for it? I have no idea.
Joe Staff.
I like him. I hope he just doesn't turn out to be an asshole. Oh, Carol. Oh, talk about PTSD. Oh, my God. I felt so bad for her having that horrific flashback. Jesus. Ash has a nice little home there and a plane. Wow. I just lost it when I saw that white rose. Oh, my God. Why am I crying already? Jesus. Why, Carol? Why lie to Ash? Oh, my God. He's a good person. I mean, you can tell he's nice with the hat, a real hat. And you lie to him. I understand her not telling them about Sophia's death or mentioned Daryl yet, but maybe he would have taken her anyway. I don't know. I trust too soon. That's my problem. Also, not living in an apocalypse. That would do it. Why would they leave in a storm? Okay, I get it. They didn't have a choice at that point. And of course, the lightning hit his power source and the fuel. Oh, yeah, TV. Mm-hmm. So I guess they had to go. Yeah. Once up in the air, Ash sounded like that tape in Carol's car. Mm-hmm. Breathe in and out. I always thought she could use some meditation time. My favorite line, there's nothing to be afraid up here. Great line. I love flying. My favorite is the takeoff and landing. Yes, I have a heavy foot on the road, too. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't judge me. So that's it for me. I'm so glad this is back. And now if Yellow Jackets would just return. Bye.
They just announced that Hilary Swank is going to be in Yellow Jackets season 3.
That's cool. I'm going to check it out as soon as it hits Netflix. I think it's on there now.
I think it just came on. Cool. Yeah, you should let me know what you think if you watch it. Thanks, Gloria. Wyman Owen says, oh my, where do I start? This was such a great episode. Seeing Carol back on screen was amazing. Well, she didn't kill anyone yet, but seeing her shoot the crossbow was incredible. I like, what's his name? Ash? I think that's what I heard. Yes. Anyways, I hope he doesn't die. He probably will. So I have been trying to catch up on the rewatch podcast episodes, and I'm basically at the end of season 2. So the flashbacks to the barn with Sophia and the Cherokee Rose story were still fresh in my mind. And I totally thought Carol was going to have a little PTSD when Ash was getting her set up in the barn. I didn't remember how easy it is for Carol to flip her switch from badass to feeble. It was great to see that again. Oh, wait, this is the Daryl Show. Yeah, he was on it too. I just paid more attention to Carol's journey. I thought that was kind of the spine of this episode. I know she had to give a reason to get to France. Just didn't think she would lie about Sophia being alive to do it. That must have been hard or really easy. Can't wait to see how the story unfolds and to hear y'all's thoughts. Oh, I almost forgot, when Carol was going through the cassettes, I totally thought she was going to find Easy Street. Ha ha. That would have been so funny. Maybe I'll get over my anxiety and finally leave a voicemail. Yes, you should. I'm glad I found my way back to the podcast after a year away. I've missed hearing y'all's voices, Jason and Lucy, as well as all the commenters and call-ins. Y'all are wonderful people. Cheers. Well, thank you, Wyman. Yeah, it's good to see you back, and I'm glad you decided to come back and catch up with the rewatch and everything. And it really is kind of cool that we've just been doing the rewatch, and now we're in the Daryl Show, and they're kind of hearkening back to some of those early episodes.
Yeah, I remember listening to a lot of Wyman's comments, and yeah, call in. We want to hear you.
Yeah, let's hear.
Next, we have Rachel Teal Edwards. Hi, Rachel.
Rachel
and I had drinks in Denver when she came into town, a few years back. And she always leaves great feedback.
Yes, she does.
Today, she says, "Damn it, the ethanol. I'm sorry. Did a sixth grader write this episode? I'm so embarrassed. My husband never watches The Walking Dead. He can't stand it. I choose to love him anyway. He sits and watches this episode with me. Oh my God. I was yelling at the TV, loudly reprimanding Carol, pausing to complain. Everything was far too convenient. The writing was atrocious. Carol had a perfect opportunity to actually connect with another person by sharing the story of her daughter's death and her failure as a mother multiple times, but no, let's lie and manipulate. Not cute, not even likable. Does not make me excited about her story. The opening scene was sweet. Let's have more Daryl teaching Laurent. Oh, wait, nope, he needs to stay away. He needs to stay weak and soft, and suddenly Lo Sang is running a shady operation of some sort. Best part was Daryl being Daryl, taking charge and rescuing Falou and Emil. I was so excited about Falou. Husband said, who's that? Leader of La Resistance. Oh, yay. I said, and a badass character. I can't get enough of it. I was, however, screaming at my TV for Daryl to just fucking kill her and be done with it.
I can picture Rachel screaming that at her TV.
But of course, Janae disappears like a magician and no one sees her or jogs a few paces to find her. All I can say is, the first episode of season one was not the best, but the season ended up being friggin' awesome. So I will keep the faith and soldier on. More Daryl, more Laurent, more Isabel, more Falou, more France, please. And I volunteer as tribute to write some episodes if they're in need. Damn it, the ethanol!
Rachel, you hated it. I loved it. But what, damn it, the ethanol, I don't understand what's bad about that. What's bad about that writing? I mean, it's all going up in flames. Maybe it's just too convenient that lightning hit it. The part of this that interested me the most is you said that suddenly Lo Sang is running a shady operation of some sort. And it's always seemed kind of weird to me that Isabel was putting up Laurent as some kind of a messiah, and all the other nuns at the convent seemed on board with that. And I can't remember where that originated, but they had to get him up to the main base at Mont Saint-Michel. And I don't know if they were like, was Lo Sang the one who said they needed a messiah and they were searching and somehow they designated Laurent, but you know, weren't there other kids up there that they could have picked, and why Laurent? And I mean, there's so many questions about that. And I wonder if they're going to be answered, not to mention then, yeah, what is the deal? Like, why do they need, what are they really going to do? I don't know if it's how shady of an operation it is, but there's definitely secrets and mysteries that we don't know yet that seem kind of concerning.
Yeah. My memories of season one are a little foggy, but I think, yeah. Didn't Lo Sang come by the Abbey at some point and met with Laurent when he was younger and kind of said that, gave the impression that he might be a messiah and he needs to come to basically the mother house of their group. I have to remember that, but I feel like he saw them before.
Yes. You know, I just, before we started, I binged the whole thing, but it was at 1.5 speed and I was just kind of trying to, you know, like if I had that thing in the Matrix that you could plug into the back of your head, I could just jack it all in at once. But anyway, I'm sure I missed a lot of details, but I don't remember that, but doesn't mean it didn't happen.
And Isabel, I believe, truly loves Laurent, but I do think she was a little bit complicit in trying to trick Daryl, because she did draw that image and gave it to him and said that he had drawn it before Daryl arrived.
That's right. I think she might have had him draw it, but I don't know, maybe you're right. Maybe she drew it. Anyway, yeah, she totally lied about that.
Yeah.
We'll see. I hope they make it a good, interesting story. I'm definitely intrigued by it.
Yep, me too.
Dina says, quote, Blanche Dubois was emotionally, physically, and mentally weak, except that Carol borrowed her line. The two characters seemed completely different, but they aren't. They both manipulate to protect themselves, end quote. That there above, my 14-year-old wrote that. He was very excited when Carol mentioned the kindness of strangers because we'd recently watched Streetcar. He texted me the above today from school where apparently they weren't learning. So in honor of my kid, I'm running with the Blanche theme. Caveat, I've had two glasses of wine. I like it. I don't really know that story, but it sounds like it all fits together and it was on purpose. Blanche wouldn't be seen under a bare light bulb because it would reveal the truth of her age. Her manipulations to secure protection would fail. Now, under the kindness of a stranger, Carol's manipulations are starting to fail. And I think this fits with moments we've already seen in her story arc. After Beth dies, Carol tells Daryl that he has to let his grief out. She says that they're different, that she can hold her pain inside. When she says that, though, she kind of chokes up, like she knows she's lying to herself. Burying these emotions are a survival mechanism. When you spend a dozen years of surviving Ed and another dozen years surviving the apocalypse, who has time to process or even know that you should process? Unless you're Daryl, who seems to find enough time to digest a book about surviving childhood trauma as well as one about learning ASL. No, I think he has unprocessed trauma too. The skill of manipulation that she certainly used as a defense against Ed becomes a super strength over the years, but it's no longer serving her. And I like so far the way this spinoff is messing with that superpower. Well put. Ash is too sincere a person, and his kindness is disarming. As she uses her weapon against him, it's backfiring and shattering her own armor. Carol's inner world is so fascinating to me. In that first season, she wore a cross and alluded to her faith every now and again. I forgot about that, yeah. When she and Daryl went Beth hunting, she expressed her fear of losing herself layer by layer. Then she meets Morgan, a pacifist, and naturally his philosophy is diametrically opposed to hers. But something about his approach to life infuriates her, and I think it's because it triggers something in her that I'm guessing is faith-related, as not long after this episode, one of my favorite Walking Dead episodes airs. Written by Kang, the whole episode is female-centric. Carol and Maggie are taken to by the three female saviors. I remember that one. At this point, Carol is in crisis, terrified of losing herself. She doesn't want to kill anymore. Her struggle is so intense that you can't tell if she's manipulating these women or if she really is falling apart. While she's struggling emotionally, she's whittled a crucifix into a weapon. She tells her captor that she relies on her faith. And while the Carol we know seems to have long abandoned her faith, she's desperate for it now. She's at war with herself. She is in this episode, Blanche DuBois, and at the end she tells Daryl that she's not at all okay. Ultimately, she leaves Alexandria and the kingdom to live in a house by a graveyard to read romance novels. She's not self-reflecting, she's escaping. And this is from someone who likes to read romance novels in graveyards to, you know, escape. Carol is still, and write some too, right, Dina? Carol is still evading her grief and trauma, but all that emotion she thinks she's stuffed down is now leaking. I hope you're about to get a full-on oil spill. I'm still not at all thrilled that she and Daryl are on the same show, but I'm now excited to watch her exercise herself.
Yeah, that's a great analysis. Thanks, yeah, Dina.
You know, you should write a book about The Walking Dead. Seriously, it would be good. Okay, finally, we have our live Steve from Steve Brown. Here we go.
Hello, the cast of us. This is Steve, and I've got to admit, going into this season two of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, The Book of Carol, I didn't rewatch season one. I haven't listened to the podcast covering season one yet, and I didn't watch the last episode of the last season either. So I'm going in kind of blind.
Oh, this would have been a really good fake out if I hadn't watched the teaser trailer that showed that this was just a test for Laurent.
I think this happened last year. The subtitles for the French go by way too fast for me to try to read during a live Steve.
Oh, and don't expect any mics to be dropping, because there's no way I'm going to tell when somebody says La gentillesse des estrangers.
Okay, who's this cryptic leader of the people of the nest? He just told Daryl that he likes to throw the Daryl said he likes to throw the first punch. This guy said he likes to throw the last one.
I don't know. I think Daryl's found his place, dude. He's training your savior to stay alive, which is pretty important, I think. When our first glimpse of Carol still on the motorcycle, doing her best Daryl impression. Even got a leather jacket. Doesn't have wings on the back of it, but it could.
Yes, he wore a leather vest, so it is completely
maybe hers should have horns.
Looks like that guy has Daryl's crossbow, so Carol knows something's up here. They don't just know that Daryl's an a-hole either. Okay, so Carol just got all the information she needs to find the boatyard, and how's she going to make a transatlantic voyage? Oh, and this is just the cold open.
I hope this doesn't go too long. This guy's got booby traps, Carol. Better watch out. And she found this plane landing place. I don't know. Oh, PTSD of Sophia coming out of the barn. Didn't we just watch this in the rewatch? Oh. Okay, so Ash is the pilot that she was looking for. She found the plane. This is the first time the generator ever failed while the guy was gone on his plane. Everything just unlocks. Keeping up with tradition, when our group shows up at a new compound, everything goes to crap. The people at the nest better watch out. Well, they got out of that, I guess, easily? Oh, so this is how she's going to tell him or convince him to get her to take her to France, right? Telling this lie about Ed and Sophia. Meanwhile, back at the nest, we find out that Losang fights with a stick. So this guy is going to fly her to France, but what's going to happen when he finds out the truth is that she's lied again? Isn't this guy doing the math right? I understand they're worried now about the ethanol, but if Sophia was 12 when they went to France before the world went to crap, she would be like in her 20s now, right? Oh, that was pretty cool. The propeller and the zombie and hitting them with the wings. Ugh. All right. It's going to be good, I think.
Yeah, I think at some point he asked her, will you recognize her? Which was sort of a nod to them acknowledging that she'll be 12 years older than she was before.
Yeah.
But Steve, you have to learn what these titles mean in English, so you'll know when to say mic drop, because they totally did say the kindness of strangers at some point.
Google Translate, Steve.
Threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and tip.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
All right, so Hollywood Reporter talked with Greg Nicotero. They said, from a Walker standpoint, what are you still able to innovate all these years into the franchise? He said, in the universe of the show, there's this whole subculture of amped up zombies now. There are these experiments making the zombies faster and deadlier, as we established in season one. This season, well, you'll see. He said, you'll see more things like veins crawling around their faces. We shot this one sequence, an attack with lots of zombies, and we had them running. People were coming up to me asking, are you okay with the zombies running? I know you're a purist. And I said, look, it makes sense. There's a reason why they're running. It's not just someone said zombies should be fast and we're doing it. Just look at episode one when Carol's in the greenhouse. She gets trapped in there. I love how clever she is about barricading herself in. And we didn't really talk about that, how she like pulled the flower stands around her. But what's important for me in that scene is how you see the zombies. Their faces are right there. If you go back and look at the history of the show, we're rarely too close to the zombies for any duration of time before they're killed. The big one is when Noah and Glenn were in the revolving door in season 5. Such a great scene. And what was intriguing about that scene is Glenn was completely protected, so he could have a front row seat to the zombies. For me, it's always important to see these zombies. I'm the enforcer on set. I'm Dirty Harry. I'm always telling everyone, guys, shoot close-ups of the zombies. A lot of the times when we're blocking a scene, if a zombie is 20 feet away and we're concentrating on Daryl and Carol, but not the zombies, we're not jumping in and getting in too close with them. But that's always my intuition. They're a character in this show. You can always tell in my episodes that the zombies are highlighted even more than most other episodes because I feel like seeing them close really immerses you in the world. That's kind of cool. I like that. Greg Nicotero wants to do that.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up in the episode, but I thought the close-up zombie makeup was really good that episode.
Yeah.
On this last episode. And I am interested in seeing the variant zombies. I mean, I think it'll add a fun new element to the show and amp up the adrenaline.
Absolutely. And I think Greg Nicotero wasn't originally attached to this show, but once Norman Reedus started getting into it, he asked him, he said, come on, you should come. And now there, you can feel the burst of renewed creativity and energy for it and everything.
Awesome. Yeah.
They said, you've worked with Melissa McBride since The Mist and certainly the first season of the flagship series. You've seen and helped Carol evolve into the Sarah Connor type she is today. What's your take on her journey to this point and how she became this way? He says, I've known Melissa since we shot The Mist with Frank Darabont. That's where we met and where Frank discovered her amazing talents. I remember on the set that Frank was like, damn, this woman is so damn good. there's this moment at the end of the movie when Thomas Jane sees her, and it's a direct result of how much Frank admired her talent. So she and I have been really good friends for a really long time. Here, transporting this character into this show was a monumental feat, but Melissa trusts and knows me. That got us a long way. It's funny because I don't look at Carol as a badass the same way everybody else does. Melissa and I have talked about this on numerous occasions. She's the one who says, "I just do what needs to get done." One of my favorite episodes I directed was the season 5 premiere where she goes into Terminus. That was my favorite episode of the whole series. All of her friends are there. She has to save them. She's very efficient and clever about how she does it. She's not an expert fighter or anything. She's just clever, and she uses what she knows to be efficient in saving her friends and getting herself out of situations. But it all comes from emotion. I mean, that is what a badass does. he says, there's something very subtle about Melissa as an actor and Carol as a character that I really love. Go back to the beginning of season 4 when there's a viral outbreak in the prison. Carol ends up killing two people who are sick with and burning their bodies. You never see her do it. It's this heinous crime. Like, who would do this horrible thing? I'm glad he said that, because I was like, are you going to say how great this is? And you realize she's capable of doing it, but only because she wanted to protect everyone else. Oops. That was there. Rick finds out and Rick banishes her, but in that moment, it's Carol starting to become who she is today. There are all these steps along the way where Carol's learning her voice and learning her strength. She bashes Ed's dead body with a shovel in season 1, and you see she's letting out all this rage that's been inside. You see in season 2, she loses Sophia. She then develops this friendship with Daryl. All these things just add up more and more for this character. So for me, when people go, "Carol's such a badass," my response is, she's not badass. She's efficient. She does what she needs to do. The journey that got her there, though, is really fascinating. I would argue with Greg Nicotero that that is badass, but okay.
Also, I'd argue, yes, getting things done that need to be done, but making decisions autocratically without consulting anyone and sort of like setting yourself up as God to make these sort of decisions is probably not great. I don't blame Rick for exiling her.
Me neither. Not at all. More on the badass front, I mean, look how she handled these guys that, in the, whatever that garage was or mechanic shop, she grabbed the crossbow, shot one of them in the leg. She smacked somebody else in the face with it, with the crossbow, and shot somebody else, quickly loaded it up and shot it. I mean, if that's not badass, I don't know what is.
No, she doesn't, she doesn't stop to question her actions. She just does what needs to be done.
Yeah. Next item, comedy legend Stephen Merchant has been cast in an upcoming episode of The Daryl Show. Do you know him?
Who is it again?
British guy, Stephen Merchant. He was in the original UK version of The Office with Ricky Gervais. He was in Hot Fuzz. He's been in a bunch of things, but my favorite, he played this robotic intelligent dampening sphere Wheatley in my all-time favorite video game, Portal 2. Basically just goes around telling jokes and saying funny things. But anyway, on his Instagram, he said, "As a fan of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, I was excited when they asked me to join The Walking Dead universe for season 3, but don't ask me for spoilers. My lips are sealed." So that should be fun.
Nice. I'll have to keep an eye out for him.
And then last, tangentially related to all this, the Daily Beast reports that original Walking Dead showrunner Frank Darabont will be directing some episodes of the final season of Stranger Things, which is kind of cool. He said he's coming out of retirement to do this. He said, "What really dragged me out of retirement was that my wife and I really love this show. Our content now is so filled with horrible people doing horrible things for greedy reasons, but Stranger Things has so much heart. That positivity is something I really responded to." So does this mean he's back for good? Who knows? He admits, leaving the question tantalizingly open. "I haven't missed the business, but I've missed being on set with creative people. It may well be one and done, but we've still got time."
That's crazy. I didn't even know he was retired. Did he do anything after The Walking Dead?
I should have went and looked, but I don't. My sense is that no one knew he was retired officially until this interview where he said he was coming out of retirement to do this, you know, but maybe, yeah, I don't know if he's, I can't think of anything big he's done.
Well, that's great. I think that'll be really exciting for Stranger Things, which I'm so excited and really looking forward to coming back.
Have they even said, like, is it coming out next year? Have they even said? I don't even know.
I don't think any premiere date has been set. Sadly.
I know. Like, how old are these kids going to be?
32.
All right, that is our show, episode 601. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thanks, Laura. I'm glad you could come back on and talk about it.
Thanks. I'm glad I could join in.
Next episode will be The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, Season 2, Episode 2, Moulin Rouge.
What may. And if you want to write in or leave us a message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
Podcastica. And while you're there, please check out our other podcast. Here's something completely different. We have a brand new podcast that just came out. It's called Sportscastica. It's kind of the baby of David, you know, David, my co-host on the Westworld cast, Squid Game cast, Better Call Saul, and of course, the husband of Karen, my original co-host. And he put it together, and here's the description he wrote. Welcome to Sportscastica, the why of sports. Sports content executive and producer David Coppett, longtime Pittsburgh Penguins voice Paul Steigerwald, and research ace Greg Stattrain Mraz tackle the deeper sports questions you've wondered about. Why has baseball dropped the sacrifice bunt? Do football halftime adjustments really work? Why are hockey's two greatest legends such statistical outliers? With the help of a host of experts, we go to school on the games we love. So it's very different. When I posted this in the Zedhead group, and a few people in there who are into sports were like all excited. And then Wendy's like, are they covering Quidditch? Which I think will be the response of a lot of us. But if you're into sports, I definitely recommend checking it out. Their first episode's up now.
Yeah, my husband's a big sports guy. Maybe I'll have to turn him onto it.
See if he's into it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to check it out because David was a producer. He was a sportscast producer. And so I'm really interested to see what he'll do with it. You know, he's kind of a perfectionist. So I want to see what he does with it and maybe learn a thing or two.
Nice.
So this episode's been made possible by Patreon supporters like Karen Baker, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you so much to Karen and everybody else who does that. Next week, I'm recording a new episode of my Patreon exclusive podcast, The Zedhead Show, where I bring in different listeners as guests and we talk pop culture, different topics. This time we're having Danielle DeYost and Renee, who calls in a lot and everybody loves her calls.
Renee.
We're going to be talking about our top five Rick Grimes moments, which I thought would be a good one for those two, since she loves Rick Grimes.
This should be a fun one.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Renee is very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm excited to podcast with her. It'll be our first time. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Jeff Hecker. Yay.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.